Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I have been told the same thing Curran has been told.
The one and only Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran joining us.
I bend over to Tommy Curran.
Tom Curran joining us from NBC Sports Boston.
It's time for Tuesday with Tom.
I'm surprised about Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Curran. On Dale and Keith.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Keep on laughing.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI with Tom E. Curran. He's in the house, NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Dale. Hi, Rich.
Tom, what are you doing? Pleasure as always.
What's going on?
Oh, just talking combine a little bit.
We got Phil Perry on the ground in Indianapolis.
So he's down there.
We got Andy Hart on the ground out there.
So we found out that Joe Burrow has small hands and that Jerry Jeudy's nickname is Jew, and that's why he wears the Star of David.
You know,
that's what we've got two days into the combine.
A guy named Jonathan Jones from Sports Illustrated tweeted that, and the replies to his tweet, for those folks who aren't on Twitter, sometimes when there is something that seems a little offbeat, could be taken as offensive, it's just an absolute onslaught. In this instance, thank God, everybody's just hysterical. Primarily those, I believe, of the Jewish faith.
Probably.
They're like, we'll take him. We'll take him.
It just seemed kind of like stupid, and now it's become a big headline and whatever else.
Yeah, no, it's fun, as long as people can keep it light. And
you hope that they can, but usually the internet's not a great place for that. You know.
So, Tom, what's your best guess? Because, you know, we had seen, I guess Ian Rappaport wrote it initially, but other people, that Don Yee was going to get together with the Patriots at the Combine in Indy. We thought that was going to be the case anyway. It made sense. But as I said early on, for me, the key question is, at whose invitation? In other words, if Belichick said to Don, hey, Don, let's get together while we're in Indy, that question we've been asking, does he even want Tom Brady back? We might get some semblance of an answer there.
Yeah, I think that's important to note. I think that, look, I think saying that Bill Belichick would not welcome an audience with Yee or Yee the other way would be a misrepresentation of where Belichick's heart lies. From everything I've gathered, from everything I understand, Bill Belichick believes that the best chance for the Patriots to win in 2020 exists with Tom Brady, a quarterback. That's his best option. Now, can he get that option in-house under the terms that he would like that are going to satisfy Brady? That's a different conversation. But I don't think that Belichick would be taking a meeting or having a meeting at the point of a bayonet. I will add this, though. In Ian's report, it said expected to. Not will,
right.
Not going to happen. And given how well
leaving
I know,
some wiggle room there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Yee well, and I know Bill Belichick, as we all do by this time, pretty well. And neither of those guys are open books when it comes to plans to meet with people. However, it does behoove the Patriots as an organization to have it out there that we're not just sitting here doing nothing. We are making active moves to at least have a conversation. So I still wonder how it happens and how productive it can be at Shula's Steakhouse or Ike and Jonesy's or whatever other
St. Elmo's.
Right, any of those places. Or they go to a hotel room, and still I just don't find it to be, whatever they do, it's a table-setting event if indeed it happens.
But doesn't it make sense for both sides, though? Because not that not that we don't think that Don Yee has talked to other teams and sort of gauged their interest and sort of seen what's going on. But as far as legally, you can only talk to the guys that you have on your roster. So Tennessee can really only talk to Ryan Tannehill, and the Patriots can only talk to Tom Brady. Doesn't it make sense for both either to know how close they are now rather than in 2 weeks? But also, if you're far away, Brady has to really narrow down his choices, and the Patriots have to get another quarterback, right, for God's sake. Yeah. So it makes all the sense in the world for both sides to want to at least get the ball rolling now.
Get the ball rolling. Yeah. And this is art of the deal stuff that, as an English major and sports writer, I'm not the head negotiator. We're not big movers and shakers. So as a result, I would defer to people out there who do negotiating, but I don't think the Patriots are going to want to tip their hand and say, we're looking at about $21 million. That sound good? You weren't that hot last year. Or we're looking at about
show you some game film of interceptions in the end zone.
Yeah, like, what were you thinking here? Right. We're $25 million and we're going to look at, I just can't imagine they're going to be in the business of hand tipping.
Now, if Brady's first question is what we've all sort of alluded to, what are the receivers looking like? What are the tight ends looking like? Is that something that maybe there's a conversation to be had where the Patriots are a little bit more open? They say, hey, Hayden Hurst is tall. Like, we're going to try to get him. And here's how likely Stephon Diggs is, or whoever, fill in the players later. But would they go down that road with him and leave sort of money and years to the side for right now?
I think that all of it is so difficult to have. That's what we've talked about. Yeah. This conversation is almost impossible to have. Again, we know Bill Belichick very well. He's not going to sit there and make a promise about Hayden Hurst or Hunter Henry before the franchise.
He might say, look, this is who we're going after.
This is what we got.
Here's the list of guys that we're interested in. But
then if you're at Brady's camp, you're like, all right, well, there's no guarantees. As Tom was about to say, the franchise, like Hunter Henry, you want Hunter Henry? Well, guess what? The Chargers want him, and they got him. So, it might be out of your hands.
Can't you just envision Belichick saying, we're going to do a lot, but
we're gonna help the team.
What's that mean? What we're going to do? What does it really mean?
Yeah, he's like, all right, I'm signing somewhere else.
The GMs who have spoken at the Combine today, I haven't heard from Bill Belichick yet, by the way.
Any day now.
He will not speak, nor will Nick Casario.
Once he finishes his orange juice.
That's why I'm in Brighton.
But the GMs who have spoken, Mike Mayock spoke today, Jason Light spoke today. What they've all done is dance around the whole quarterback question. Mike Mayock said, we're very happy with Derek Carr.
Played at a high level.
But, we would look to upgrade any position. Jason Light was asked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He said his team wants to see what's behind door number two before committing to Jameis Winston for 2020.
I
wonder who that might be.
I mean, that's...
I don't know. Bridgewater?
And to me, Mayock and Jason Light both are basically announcing we're in the mix.
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing.
I'll tell you one thing that is absolutely fascinating to me. Brian Flores stepped to the mic today, and you know what he said? The same exact thing, down to the word, that Stephen Ross
said. That his owner said.
Which is the same exact thing that Chris Greer said to me on the sidelines before the 17th week of the season when I said something to him about Brady. They have, in Miami, a marching order. This is what we say, R.E. Brady. We don't say no. We don't say we're not interested. We don't say we got no shot. We don't say we are interested. We say, why would he want to come here? So that if and when he does show that he wants to come here or even visits, people say, wow, taking us pretty serious. I mean,
look at us. Looks good for the franchise.
All three could be saying, let's just say this, it's simple, and we're not interested, and we're not getting in that game. But I don't believe that they could have had that verbiage down to be parroted every time they're asked about it that succinctly.
What's the scenario for Miami to make it enticing?
$90 million in cap space, a ridiculous number of draft picks that they have amassed through trades like Laremy Tunsil. Minka Fitzpatrick.
But having said that, realistically, do you see them being a championship contender in the amount of time Tom Brady has left?
Tom Brady that's what Tom Brady's, if you will, conceit is, that he can change a team from 6 wins to 12 wins and make them a contender if the right pieces are in place.
I think he didn't make this team a contender.
I think...
Well, I mean... who could have. I mean, they were a contender. I mean, they went 12-4.
They're a playoff team.
But we never thought they were a legitimate Super Bowl contender, did
we?
When they were 8-0,
They beat Buffalo, I think people said, okay, well, maybe they fix it up here. Maybe. I think after they beat Buffalo, as late as week 16, there were enough of us who were registering, okay, I haven't seen it all year, but maybe you can. I was a little dubious on it, and it bore out.
Yeah.
But I think that
they
were.
I didn't think they had the weapons to do it. At least I didn't.
I didn't think so either.
I mean, you picked them to beat the Titans.
I liked the defense.
I mean, you picked them over the Titans.
I picked them to lose to the Titans. I just didn't think they could keep pace. Look, they were a bad offensive team. Right. And Brady got about as much out of them as you could have.
By the way, John Robinson's another one of the GMs.
Yes,
sure. But I mean,
said basically the same thing. Of course, we're interested.
But let's face it; it came down to the last drive of the last game of the regular season, and they wouldn't even have had to play Wild Card Weekend. So I'm with you. I didn't think, as the season went on, they lost to all the good teams that they faced. I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl. But I mean, again, they won 12 games. They really should have. Probably lost in the divisional round. Right?
They won 12 games. Correct. Playing the season without a tight end. Okay, let's not even look at the numbers. Playing without a tight end.
Right.
Playing with Julian Edelman, who was ground down to sawdust.
Yeah.
With Philip Dorsett, who was, you know, here, there, not there. Jacoby Myers. Again, Gunnar Olszewski. Josh Gordon was here and gone. Antonio Brown barely even got his hat off before he was able to get himself kicked out of town.
Because if you look at the AFC, the Chiefs are going to be the favorite, as they should be. They just won the Super Bowl. They have the best player in the sport. But then after that, I think Baltimore has some questions around them. And I think they're going to be a good regular season team again. But all right, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. And then after that, it's almost like whatever team Brady is on is probably that second, third team. And maybe even in my mind, Tennessee, easily second best team if he goes to Tennessee. And if he goes to Miami, it all comes down to how do they spend their money.
See, Tennessee, I could see. Miami, I mean, as great as Tom Brady is, I just don't see him turning that fortune around that quickly.
Okay, and that's fair. I guess the better way to put it is I don't see him turning his nose up to them either. Nor to Indy with their $90 million or $80 million or whatever it is, nor to Tampa Bay with their $80 million.
But if he doesn't, like you said, if he doesn't turn his nose up to him, then it is all about the money.
Well, if he signs there, there's a difference.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If he signs with Miami or Indy, don't we then say, well, it really was all about the money?
Well, I think it could also
still be
about...
Well, what's the vision that's explained to
him? Well, there's that. I think it's also the respect, too, because if the Patriots offer $15 million, dollars a year,
right?
The Dolphins offer 30. It's not really necessarily. Oh, he just wanted twice as much money. It's like, well, why should he have to play for $15 million or whatever? You know, whatever that low number is. Like, that's kind of insulting.
Well, then what they're saying is that they don't want him back.
I agree with that.
Interesting drop in note for folks who are paying attention to the tight end class. It says Falcons expected to let Austin Hooper hit free agency,
and he's about to become the highest paid tight end in the game.
Fair enough.
Which I don't think will be here.
I don't know. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
I wouldn't mind. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I mean, I think he's good. He's like a B tight end, right? There's a handful of A tight ends like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, maybe Zach Ertz. But Hooper's good, and I think that's a huge step in the right direction. Now, he also is a guy that would make sense no matter who the quarterback is. Because we've talked about this a lot. It's not like, oh, you got to get a tight end for Brady, but if we don't have Brady, like, forget it. Like,
it's a component of the offense.
It's an important position.
Yeah. Blocking.
Especially
and,
here.
Yeah.
Over 20 years it has been. But I think Miami is at least intriguing enough because of all the money they have. Devontae Parker finally kind of broke through. You know, he was a high draft pick, but this was the year that he looks like a legit stud. The Brian Flores angle, again, you're not going to have Bill Belichick in any of these other places. But if it's a coach that he has some respect for and he thinks, you know, that Brian Flores kind of checks that box anyway. And it also comes down to, and I don't know the answer, Tom, maybe you have a better sense of this. Does Brady, if he leaves, want to play against the Patriots in the regular season or does he want to avoid playing?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, if you look at the Kobe Bryant essay that Brady put together.
Just put out today on Twitter.
Really is an essay.
Yeah.
About why he's so moved and how he's so moved and why he had so much respect for Kobe Bryant. A lot of it circles back to what Kobe was about in terms of empowering other people to do things that people thought they couldn't do. Now you look at a six-time Super Bowl champion and you're like, well, nobody's telling you you can't do anything. In his mind, yeah, they are. Every time he sits down at the table and they say, 1 year, we're not going to make a commitment, right. It's reaffirming. You know, there was a point after he signed that contract, I communicated with him, and he said, just going to have to prove him wrong, ... again. This was this past off season prior to.
Well, remember he was talking to, and you were there for it when he was like, well, why don't you ask Mr. Kraft? You know, like he had right. those kind of like somewhat passive aggressive. You're like, for a guy who's the greatest of all time and is entering his 20th year, why is it coming to this?
And that's, to me, is, yeah, if he goes to Miami, there is the opportunity twice a year to say, yeah, you really couldn't have given me that Drew Brees deal, huh?
I mean, a lot of the teams
really
that
were opposed to that, huh?
Tennessee and the Raiders and the Chargers are all teams that people at least consider in the mix. They all play the Patriots. Teams like Tennessee does not. I'm trying to think of some of the others that people like. The Tampa Bay Bucks do not. Unless, of course, the Super Bowl, which would be, you might as well just shut down the sport if it was Brady right. versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But
in Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. But, no, I mean, that's just sort of an added wrinkle to it. And, you know, I personally, as a fan, want Brady to stay because I think that makes the Patriots the best in 2020. But the storylines are just off the charts if you go somewhere else. And it happens to be a team that plays against the Patriots. I mean, forget it.
What do we think the timeline is here? We know about the March 16th date and the importance of that from spreading out the dead money perspective. We know that that's the beginning of the legal tampering period. We know March 18th is the first day of business and all that. Realistically, this thing isn't getting dragged out till April or something, though, right?
No, I don't think it can.
He's going to sign here or somewhere else, I would guess, within a week of free agency.
And I would think that the Patriots will probably hope that he has a decision for them by March 15th because the legal tampering period right. begins March 16th, and they're going to want to get in line for these other quarterbacks. So,
but he's hitting free agency.
I believe right? that to be the case. Okay. But again, this is, you know, how does it go with Don Yee? How,
right.
I mean, we have wondered whether or not Brady's feet will get cold if he does have to look into the abyss and say, you know what? Do the Patriots look at this the same way and say, look, we weren't that great last year, and we don't know what Tooney's going to do, and we don't know what Jamie mm-hmm. Collins is going to do. We don't know what Danny Shelton's going to do. We don't know what Devin's going to do. What's our team look like if Tom leaves and the defensive guys, we have attrition there? They'll figure it out. They'll get guys in.
But you could be going from 12 wins to 9.
Keep you going. Could.
What, if Brady's...
Brady's gone.
Oh, Brady's gone.
And you lose some guys on defense. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, doesn't that depend on who the quarterback is, too? Because there's a big range of guys it could be. It could be Jarrett Stidham. It could be Tannehill. It could be Bridgewater. It could be Winston. It could be a rookie. Like, it's such an unknown.
It is, and the institutional knowledge...
Yeah.
That Brady will leave with about this is what we like to do at the end of the half. This is what we like to do when there's one timeout and we're at our own 30.
And that's gone.
And the institutional knowledge that the coaching staff has that they don't have to get in his ear during that 15 seconds of open time and say, don't forget this, make sure you do that, don't forget this. And who are the guys he's throwing
but
to?
Is
whoever the new guy is.
Is Belichick's job at least easier replacing Brady knowing that McDaniels is still here?
Yes.
Because you can only imagine
quite
if he
bit.
Now has like no coordinators and no Brady, who's like a de facto coordinator himself.
Right.
Then I think you're really talking about 8-8 at best. But if you have the guy that at least Belichick can sort of say, all right, at least I have another guy who has so much experience. And obviously they would change the offense a little bit because I'm guessing the next quarterback's going to be a little bit more mobile. Just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use some of that stuff in there. But at least he can kind of lean on him and he knows
who
what to expect.
Who could they find that
Josh.
Would be less mobile?
Less Peyton Manning.
The corpse of Peyton
Manning.
Yeah, it
Manning. Is not a long list of guys that are
Montana.
Less mobile. Yeah, it'd be like a Montana type.
Now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm that's a very good question. It's a very good way of putting it. If Josh McDaniels wasn't here, they'd be up the creek, and that's why.
Well, then it would almost be like
they don't
start
have,
over. Well, I would say like all those veteran free agents on defense, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to bring any of them back.
Well, it wouldn't just be Josh. It would be Dante Scarnecchia,
right.
And it would be Joe Judge, who was the special teams coach and the wide receivers coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be still working shorthanded on the defensive side of the ball where Bill Belichick jumped into the defensive coordinator's role and to a large extent, and Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo, you know, apprenticed.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of talking about the combine almost because we have to and because it's, you know, one of the only things going on. But I'm beginning to think that the combine is sort of losing a lot of its steam anyway. The Rams said, nah, we're good. We'll look at the film. We don't have to go. We got a lot of stuff going on back here in L.A. I have a feeling you might see more and more of that as we go forward. I mean, you got so many guys who don't even work out anyway. I can get the list from the NFL for how big his hand is.
Don't you think the interviews have something to do with it? Like, I happen to like it, and I know that sometimes a guy can be overdrafted or, in fact, underdrafted based on a 40 time, which is crazy. They have right. 3 years of college, sometimes 4 years of college tape, and you're like, oh, Anquan Boldin's slower than we thought, so he's gonna fall in the draft, and then he is fantastic as a rookie. But there's also those guys, like Aaron Donald's a great example of a player who was good in college, very good in college, but then between the Senior Bowl and the Combine, like, shot up the draft board and then has been one of the best defensive players in the league. So, I don't know. It's just another metric to try to figure out who you want to draft on your team. So, I like it still.
Well, that's the thing is, are you getting what you – do you need to physically be there to get the information?
The Rams
I can get
said
the hand
no.
size.
They said I can get the list. I can look at the video.
I mean, the workouts start on Thursday night. You can't go in the stadium to watch him as a media member. I'm just making this analogy.
Yeah.
The Patriots don't talk. So what am I going to do? I'm going to chase Dave. I mean, this season's an exception because of the Brady situation. But, you know, chase Dave Gettleman around and ask him if he's going to do something with Brady. It's not going to happen. He's not going to say
right.
that.
Those guys are all
ask people
lie
about
to you anyway.
Devin McCourty or, you know. It's diminishing returns. If I want to be productive, watch the stuff, see the guys at the podium, write things up, find different angles. To me, that's important. And for teams, more importantly than some writer, is what can we not get here? We can visit this guy on campus. We can go to his pro day. We have 30 visits.
Which I think
that
they think is more important than this anyway, 100%. This dog and pony show.
I mean, Nate Solder was visited by Dante Scarnecchia out in Colorado the week before the draft. They drafted him. He turned out to be a good player for them and the highest paid tackle in the league. Trent Brown, I mean, they find guys in so many different fashions, the Patriots do. Mm-hmm. You know, Trent Brown, a seventh round guy that they traded for. Isaiah Wynn, they did put time
But I feel
in.
Like if you're going to fly to Nebraska, Washington, Florida, why not fly to Indy and all the players are right there? If you're going to do that and go visit everybody at their schools, all the best players are in Indy. Again, whether they all run the 40 or not, they're there. So you might as well go.
My feeling is, having witnessed it, it's a bit of a grab-ass cluster.
Are you saying as a media member? Or
no,
are you saying as a team?
As a coach.
Okay, okay.
You know, there's
okay.
guys want to go out.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots, that was always the lament of the guys who worked with Patriots. Yeah, we always do our interviews at 9 o'clock at night. Meanwhile, right. every other organization's
down there having a great time.
Doing YMCA middle of the street.
I just think that more and more teams are going to go the way of the Rams this year, and I think I could absolutely see Belichick at some point saying, "Look, we'll send Dante.
Yeah,
you know, we'll send Troy Brown."
Well, there was like a couple of years ago. Remember that whole story about how Belichick was going to open his world, like Aladdin style, to Josh McDaniels, and that year McDaniels didn't even go to the combine. You're like, oh, like so I assume he's going to be with you lockstep. Like, no, but don't need to go. So you're right. I mean, a lot of it you don't necessarily have to be
now,
there.
They
but
love
I mean,
them some pro days. Oh, they yeah. love
well because they can get you know their hands on,
and you're also your sidling up to the coaches and the staff of that particular team and saying, "What do you see in here? What this guy was he like?" So that's, I mean, those things are more important than
often we
the
see
agent
we'd
who
see
just
like,
met the kid 2 months ago.
Many times we'd see Dante running drills for offensive linemen at pro days and. You know, stepping in and saying, "Here, no, I want you to show me this. Do this for me," that sort of thing.
Yeah, the combine value, I think, is hot stove.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Stuff. It's like the owners' meetings in baseball. Now, the owners' meetings, to me, are a news-making event now because it's post-free agency. It's cusp of the draft. Owners speak. You're getting rules changes. To me, it's a much more consequential
take. That's a good point. The timing of this is tricky because every GM, if they're good at their job, can't say anything. Like, hey, are you interested in this guy? You're like, well, we already have this other guy on the roster, so like we can't talk about
this guy. It's like Mike Mayock telling you how good Derek Carr was.
Of course he's going to say that. And so they all talk. There's a bunch of head coaches, a bunch of GMs all down there talking, but they got to kind of be careful what they say, I guess.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Patriots do have other things they have to address beside the quarterback position. We'll get into that with Tom as well, as he has written about, well, one in particular, but there are others on the list as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk with you as well, but right now it's time to trend.
Now back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keith.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
Obviously, the quarterback question has dominated the offseason for the New England Patriots, but as Tom mentioned earlier, they've got some other decisions to be made. There are some key players on the defense that have to be re-signed or let go. You've got offensive line questions. A name that hasn't been brought up much in this offseason, probably because he ended the season on the disabled list and unable to play, is their kicker, Steven Guskowski.
Yeah, I think Guskowski, it's a big deal. That we have to look at. I'm going to grab a call.
You can take a call. You have an important call. And it is. It's not just like a family member here for Tom. This is maybe he'll have a scoop for us in a little bit. But Nick Folk was actually good last year.
He was.
He ended up showing up after they stumbled upon
and
four different guys.
Much cheaper than Steven Guskowski.
Yeah, that's the thing. And with Guskowski, is he coming back 100% healthy? Like, do we know that he's healthy? Or is
I actually haven't seen him in a while. I would run into him from time to time.
Yeah, you would.
His kids were taking tennis lessons at the place that I work out, and I would just see him, you know, the dad there with his kids sort of thing once in a while. I haven't seen him in a while, but, you know, my understanding is he's been, you know, working out and rehabbing and getting better. And
that's the thing, though. If you're talking about if salary cap ends up being important, and I always feel like you can make it work in a certain way, but if they're really trying to reload the offense and you can save a couple million dollars at that spot, do you still do it? And again, the guys they brought in originally were pretty terrible. Who the hell was it again? Like the Mike Nugent trash. Yeah. Like they didn't stick, but Nick Folk was good. And nothing crazy. You're not going to be drilling 55-yarders with him, but he was consistent.
Or trying
them. You won't even try him, but yeah. I think Guskowski even kind of got to that point, too. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the names on the list. And again, all of them are so overshadowed. Like, there's a bunch of longtime Patriots that we are uncertain of their future. Like, Devin McCourty. He's been on the team a long time and has been a really good player and had a really good season. He's, like, quietly a free agent. He could go play somewhere else. Like, there's going to be teams interested. Like, you don't think...
Like, you'd think Joe Judge would be interested.
Well, think about it. Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, and Brian Flores have all coached Devin McCourty. They would all want him, let alone other teams, because he's coming off of a good year, and I don't think he's going to command a bunch of years. He might make decent free safety money, but I don't think he's going to, like, be one of these monster contracts. Plus, most of the linebackers are up. Danny Shelton, who, oh, by the way, did you see he went out and got Drew Rosenhaus?
Yeah, I changed his agent.
Oh, okay. So he's looking for some money. You don't go get Drew Rosenhaus for no reason.
That is true, yeah.
So he's going to try to cash in. He was funny because he had a bad first year with the Pats and then was really productive last year. Don't you think Joe Tooney and Kyle Van Noy are both gone because they're both going to be able to probably cash in the most of all these guys? And I don't know if the Patriots are going to be able to meet either one.
Tooney, I've resigned myself, is absolutely gone.
Yeah. Tooney, I think for sure is gone unless they decide to franchise him. You know, you could go that route. They do have the franchise tag available. I don't know if that would be something for Devin McCourty or for one of the linebackers or what it would be. But to me, it also still goes back to Tom Brady. Of course it does. But if Tom Brady's back, aren't you more inclined to bring back Devin McCourty and either Jamie Collins or Van Noy? Whereas if Brady's gone, I don't know. I'm kind of okay with letting those guys go. Yep. And maybe turning the whole roster over. It's an old team. You know, they don't have a lot of... They haven't drafted well the last 4 years, so the young talent isn't really there. So if Brady's not back, I could see going much younger, and I think, and really planning towards the future. Not that you're going to be bad for a while, but just you want to kind of hit the reset button a little bit.
So that's the question, I mean, among the questions that this team's faced. I guess the good news is they got a head start on their offseason, you know, sooner than they're used to. You know, having been in Super Bowls for 3 straight years, it's like, okay, well, we're done after the first week. I guess we've got an extra month to play with here.
Yeah, so what do they do with it?
Like, well, my guess is that, you know, after getting a week off or something, they sort of dove back in head first. In fact, you know, and I think Andy Hart's got a piece on WEEI.com, the premise of which is, in Bill we trust, you know, the guy running this franchise has been pretty damn good at it. So, you know, maybe take some solace in the fact that he's probably going to get this thing right.
Get what's right, though?
Rebuilding, you know, taking care of the decisions here. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say every draft pick he makes is going to be perfect.
No, but
every free agent signing.
Again, whether Brady's back or not, this is a huge, huge draft year.
Yes.
You can't go so many years without impact players in the draft, and there's no excuse. They didn't lose a first-round pick because of some stupid punishment. Like, they got their first-round pick. Yes, they traded their second, but they got their third. They have a couple of thirds. So they need to get at least a player who is going to be significant in this draft.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Anything you can tell us?
Just was reiterated to me to be skeptical of all reports.
Okay.
Just keep your sniffer to the ground, which is, you know, for instance, in talking about, you know, meetings that are expected to happen or will happen, just make sure to...
Should I go back to who initially reported that?
I mean...
If you
it's
want.
Just, you know, there's a meeting between Don Yee and the Patriots, as Ian Rappaport stated, was expected to happen
at the
this
combine.
Weekend. And I just had said earlier, look, I don't know if there's a big jump from expected to will. So I don't know who is.
Okay.
I don't know who's asking for the meeting.
Well, that, I said that was the key question
for
me.
Or who's expecting it? Who expects this meeting to happen? So I was just reminded, make sure you're skeptical about all reports,
again,
which is, I think, what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And the longer that Belichick goes without, like, talking to Brady or Brady's side, the less I think he wants them. That's how I view it.
I just don't, because I think going to the table too early and getting into the numbers and things, it's.
But why not?
Because that's the way they are.
Okay.
They don't talk until the last friggin' second. They make people wait. And wait, and
yeah, but,
wait,
okay.
And wait.
So I'm glad
wait.
You said it that way. So you can make people wait. Tom Brady's on a different level. And well, I know that they've dealt with Hall of Famers in the past.
You're right.
But even
he is
then,
on a different level, yeah. And he's on a different level, and he's already a little bit agitated.
That's what I'm saying. I think you're just pissing him off this way. And maybe he'd want to come back, but the way this is playing out, and maybe this is just as like a fan, you're kind of going crazy because it seems like such a long time. Right, they haven't played in a while. We've been talking on and off throughout the regular season about this happening, and no decisions are going to be made for another 20 days or whatever it is. So you're sitting there trying to figure out what's going to go on, and I just feel like if I was in Tom Brady's shoes and they weren't calling me nonstop and like trying to figure out what's going on, I'd be like, do they even really want me? So what are we doing? I know there's like 10 other teams that want me. Let's talk to those
teams.
So
it's not like he's worried about whether or not he's going to have a job.
Not a job, but
no,
a job
just,
here.
I guess it would further amplify his feeling that there is reluctance on the part of the Patriots to make him part of their future. And if they're slow to move now when they know he's on the cusp of free agency, maybe it would make him skeptical that they're going to do a hell of a lot to make his, you know, standing behind that line of scrimmage in 2020 that much better than last year.
He told Jim Gray during the Super Bowl that, you know, he's talked to the Patriots since the season ended. Jim Gray didn't get very deep into the weeds as to what that means.
Yes, we talked about
a new contract or,
no.
You know, hey, I've got some boxes in my locker. I'm going to have somebody come pick them up.
Yeah, just from that, the way it was phrased by Brady, I think he also said, I've worked there for a long time. I have long relationships. And I think he might have used the word love in that context as well. I think it's more of, to me, it's going to be a statement. I'm going to talk to Robert Kraft and tell him I love him and give him a kiss on the cheek. And Jonathan, shake hands and hug. And Bill, I'll make sure that I get in there and talk to Nick. And we'll see what this offseason brings, okay? We'll be in touch, believe me. We'll get things, you know. I'm sure that all that stuff happened.
Doesn't it seem hard to believe that he and Josh McDaniels haven't communicated this entire offseason yet? I mean, they communicate all the time, don't they, during the season? I mean, isn't it? No?
I don't know how much they necessarily communicate in the offseason. I really don't. I think that, you know, there might be, I don't think there's ongoing what's going on, you know, where, right. where you lean in or mm-hmm. how do you feel about things. Those are, honestly, it's Bill's jurisdiction. So and unless Bill asks someone to find out what this guy's thinking, it's not happening.
So, fun hypothetical, because we know that Kraft wants Brady back. Now, it might be at a certain price, but at the very least, he wants him back. We're kind of unsure about Belichick. I'm kind of leaning more towards he'd be willing to start anew, right? Start fresh anew. If it was up to Josh McDaniels, and we know that it's not, but if it was, as a guy that is in charge of the offense, does he want another kick at the can with Tom Brady, or do you think he would want maybe a fresh start, maybe a younger guy?
I think at this juncture, Josh McDaniels would say, let's get him back here.
Okay.
Come on, we're better than this.
This is
we're
the best
better
chance.
Than we were.
Bring him back.
Nikhil will be better.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu will be better. Let's get it back here. Let's run it back.
Well, and presumably he knows more than we do, I'd like to think, about, you know, who'd be next.
Like Louis McDaniels?
Like at this point, have he and Bill already had the discussion? Look, Jared Stidham's fine as a backup. He ain't the guy.
Right. I think that if, based on my experience with that team, they would never make, and he's not the guy, presumption about a first-year player before they see him in year two, ever. Just because of that, as you've heard a million times, the leap that gets made. Yeah. So they're going to expect that leap to be made. Then
no, but
have
I could see them making an evaluation during year one. You know what? I love the way this guy throws the
100%.
Ball.
100%.
They might like him. Yeah. Like, if he was the starter going into next year, what do you think?
Right.
Like, how realistic is that? Are we a playoff team
with him
as a starter?
I think you could say that, but they'll say, if he was the starter, how we do? I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
but we damn well better, as good as he looked.
Right.
If he starts to pee down his leg when we put too much on his plate, we better have somebody else in here.
Right. I could easily see, we were just talking while you were out taking important phone calls. We were talking about how, unfortunately, the Patriots had a month's head start on their offseason. And what were they doing to fill that time? One of the things I could easily see Belichick saying to Josh McDaniels, listen, as an intellectual exercise here, put together a report on who will be the next quarterback here if Tom's not the guy. You know, who's available out there? What do you think of Phillip Rivers? What do you think of this guy or that guy? I mean, I could easily see them going through the intellectual exercise of preparing themselves in that regard.
Yeah, I think January was probably very much devoted to some of the things that kept Josh McDaniels off the road early in the head coaching thing. You're going to evaluate every single guy on your offense.
Every quarterback who's available?
Well, no, inside and, first.
Yeah, inside first. Inside first, but then, you know, if these things don't fall the way we want them to, what's our plan B?
And they've already done all of that because they're updating what Nick and Monty Austin Fort and Ziegler have all done. Director of pro personnel, director of player personnel, director of college scouting. They have all this stuff on these players amassed and current, so they're going to look at that stuff and see what's the arc of where he is right now. What's his contractual status? What's his health? And make call. I don't even know if they would make calls. Maybe they would. How's this guy coming along? Mm. I mean, if you ask about Josh Rosen, for instance.
Yeah, because that part's so fascinating. Because when you look at some of the players that Belichick has sort of plucked in the past.
I love Josh Rosen, by the way.
You do?
Yeah.
What about him that you love?
I think he's way better than.
He's tall?
I think that he's
got a strong arm.
Well, he wears t-shirts sometimes?
Look, I'll put it this way. You should see some of the sneakers that I have walked out of.
Okay.
Stores with because they were on sale to a ridiculous amount.
I got you.
Or jackets from Nordstrom Rack.
I get the analogy.
I have really walked out with stuff. Then I'll.
John Anderson just looked at your shoes. That's not what this is about, John. That's not what he's talking about.
He's got like Grillmaster 4000s on right now.
That's not the point.
Very stylish.
The point is Josh Rosen's basically going to be a free guy, and so he'll take him as a free guy, but he wouldn't take him like in the first round like the Cardinals did.
I would say, look at how much this is marked down. You're losing money by not buying this.
I don't know, but there's also just, you know, first-round busts that aren't good. So just because they were picked in the first round and they're available doesn't mean you should take them.
All right, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, is in the house. It is our Tuesdays with Tom, which runs from noon to 1 every Tuesday. Coming up at 1:30, Kiefer Madness as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Dale.
Yes?
Where's your TB12 tattoo again?
Right on the butt cheek.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably the best one.
Right on the butt.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I hate to break the news to my buddy Rich Keefe because he's so proud of his hand size.
I had decent sized hands, which I am surprised by. I always operate under the impression that I had tiny, tiny hands, embarrassingly small hands, but they're bigger than Joe Burrow's. 9.5.
Do you have a ruler?
No, I went home and did it last night. I was very impressed with myself. Look at these puppies.
He said, hey, honey, you want to measure mine? And she said, please, Rich.
He's like, we've done it. It's the same. There you go. You gotta spread them out.
Oh, I got Joe Burrow fingers.
Yeah, you might. You might have nines.
Those are nines.
Yeah.
But I think my left hand's bigger.
This is my left hand.
That's my right.
Oh. All right. Oh, maybe more lined up there.
Nope. This is an audio still experience, gonna have to. Guys.
Still smaller.
Yeah.
So there's a piece. There's a piece on ESPN.
In your face. Stop.
Written by David Fleming.
Still smaller.
Yep. Story of my life.
The headline, Rich, is why the NFL Combine built a myth around quarterback hand size, a measurement that doesn't mean anything.
Turns out it doesn't mean a thing, huh?
According to, and it's a long piece about, you know, there's the, none of this matters.
Well, it's funny because the other end of the spectrum I remember was Rajon Rondo's hands were so big that when he was at Kentucky, a whole bunch of the students were trying to get a petition to get him to get a surgery to get his hands smaller so he could shoot free throws better. That was a real thing in Kentucky. They were mad that his hands were too big.
I'll just give you an example of that they use here. Brett Favre reportedly has, you know, some of the largest hands
for
a quarterback.
Oh, I bet he does.
He also has more fumbles than any other quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, it's because he got lazy with the giant hands. He couldn't feel them. The nerves, it would hit his
that's a good point.
Middle finger, and it took too long.
When you have giant hands, it's hard to keep them warm, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I mean, I know you're real happy about how large your hands are.
Well,
I was surprised.
I thought I had tiny hands. Turns out Shyam has the smallest hands.
I would imagine you can palm a basketball.
I can't.
I can just barely palm a ball lefty.
I can do like
not righty,
a
my right hand's all messed up.
I can do like a woman's basketball, a men's basketball. It has to be like a super grippy one.
Well, that's yeah.
And then I can kind of like do it for a second, but I can't.
I can do the miniature Nerf basketball.
Shyam, that's not. No, that's not what we're talking
it's
about.
It's not a thing, Shine.
I mean, it's yeah, I need it. I can't be out there palming a slick ball.
No, no
pardon
chance.
Me?
No.
By the way, this long piece on ESPN claims there's no one way to measure a hand in the NFL, which leads to surprising variation among Senior Bowl, Combine, and Pro Day measurements.
Yeah, you know, I think it's more important to measure from the base of the palm up to the middle finger.
Oh, you like that measurement. Well, shouldn't they be the same? Then your hand would be kind of...
A square?
They are very different.
How do you know that? Would you measure that, too, when you went home?
Yes, I did, because I wasn't sure which one we were talking about.
I measured everything. I went home and just my entire body, I have every measurement. I don't know.
So at the Senior Bowl, Jordan Love's hand measured 10 5/8. And they said, oh, my God, he's got massive hands.
Oh, I like Jordan Love now.
And then at the Combine, it measured 10 1/2.
His hands got smaller.
His hands got smaller in the time between the Senior Bowl and the Combine.
You know what they say? If your palm covers...
I heard that. Here, come here. Covers your face. It means you're the smartest guy in the room. Come here. I got to show you something.
Well, I'm just saying, unfortunately...
Your hand's bigger than your face.
I know you were real excited about this, but I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings.
It's all right. I think it still separates the men from the boys, though. Whether or not they can hold on to the football or not, apparently that doesn't matter. But if you have big hands, I feel like you're a more powerful person in society.
I would think
all the great
judgment.
Leaders of our time probably had huge mitts.
I tend to disagree.
Sean, that's because you have tiny, tiny hands.
And mine are smaller, I think.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
we have a small-handed show. What are you going to do?
Well, except for you.
Well, I know.
But it's an even-handed giant. Show. But right. It's an even-handed
Come on.
Show.
Come on.
So what's next? What's the next shoe to drop here? I mean, whether Don Yee meets with Bill Belichick in Indianapolis this week or not, and I'm going to be skeptical because that was good advice you gave me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be skeptical. Yep, so skeptical. Even if they meet or not, what's the next step?
I mean, the guy's got to get there first. I think that if you look at that is a step to happen.
The hard thing is
it's just not a transparent operation, and it's only going to become more and more cloistered as we go forward, I think, whether it be with ownership. But there will come a point at which I think that Robert Kraft and ownership, stating its interest in having it done, will be anxious to have whether expected or real meetings actually occur so that the ball is rolling. But again, as I wrote last week, my feeling was it would either happen towards the tail end of the combine or immediately thereafter. And we're still a week away from the immediately thereafter. So March 1st, 2nd, 3rd, that gives you plenty of time. There's 24 hours in a day, 8 to 10 working hours. There's plenty of time to sit down and talk with Tom Brady about the things that you would like to do and the role that you see for him in 2020.
Now, you wrote yesterday about Danny Amendola re-signing with the Lions. And obviously, it doesn't guarantee anything, but maybe a sign that, if Brady does go somewhere else, that's obviously one guy that you can cross off the list that would know what he likes.
Right. And that, to me, is interesting, not in that it's going to be a domino that impacts the overall decision of Brady in one way or another. But if you look at it for the fact that Tom Brady didn't love what he was dealing with in 2019 because of the rawness, newness, unfamiliarity, and learning curve those guys had to conquer, wherever he goes, there will be a Tom Brady learning curve in place. Now, say you go to Tennessee. You're going to be working with Jonnu Smith, Ryan Humphries.
Adam.
A.J. Brown, Adam. Oh, can I please one time stop calling him Ryan?
Just so stop the text token. Yeah.
It's like whatever
you.
I call him,
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
It's the other one.
I'll call him Adam next time, and someone's going to tell me Ryan.
That's Ryan. Oh, A.J. Brown obviously is good.
A.J. Brown.
Corey Davis maybe something.
Corey Davis can play. He's got about 45 catches. Yeah. So there are players there. Tajay Sharp, I think he's a free agent, but regardless, those are players that Tom Brady's going to have to conquer the learning curve with. He's going to have to be there for OTAs.
Right.
He's going to have to be there for passing camp. But
what if Bill Belichick says, we'll give you the contract you want, but we want you here for OTAs too?
It'll be interesting. Well, okay. Who am I showing up to work with?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, presumably, if you even get to the point of agreeing on a deal or something, your question is Tom Brady.
Here,
yeah.
That has to be a wink and a nod
agreement
because you can't put it in a contract
because
they're voluntary. But yeah, it makes some sense. I think that there is... It doesn't do anybody any good to miss those sessions when the team needs to improve drastically. And last year was a perfect example of that. So I think that Brady has to share some of the quote-unquote blame or at least responsibility for them not progressing the way that they wanted to. But again, if you're on the books for $15 million and they're not giving you a new contract and they're saying, oh, while you're at it, make sure you show up for these OTAs and passing camps that are free. I think if I'm 42 years old, I might say, why am I doing extra stuff when I don't know who I'm throwing to? You've chased Gronk out of town, and I'm still working for half what Jimmy makes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this. I understand why he would have said, no, I'm probably going to be in Buenos Aires.
Do the players ratify this new CBA?
Eventually, when somebody like knocks their heads together and explains to them that, look, this wasn't their first offer, it was their last offer that we built to, they're going up from 47% to 48.5%. You're going to make more money. They're giving you another week off from hitting at the beginning of the year. All of these things make sense for you guys. So grow the pie, get us to $25 billion, have a day. One thing that hasn't been mentioned, though, Dale, that I think is interesting, is how does the gambling stuff get split up and divvied up? That has been kind of under the radar, and I think it's probably fairly intricate. I'm sure the NFLPA has addressed it somehow, but if I were the players, I would want to have that thing get reopened if indeed things changed.
And the extra playoff game will go into effect this year. The extra yes. playoff team in each
yeah,
conference.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I don't mind that. There's some playoff games that suck anyway. There's some that happen between
right now there's a better chance
2-7. But still, you can get
six wrong instead of four wrong. What are we doing? I don't know. I didn't need the 8-8 Steelers in the playoffs this year.
That's okay. What about the 11-5 Patriots a few years ago?
No, they weren't a contender either.
No, they weren't.
You didn't want to see the Matt Castle playoff era?
No. Oh, Matt Castle will be on the pod today.
Oh, nice.
Matt on the pod.
Look at that. Tying it all together.
Yep, nicely done.
Perfect.
That's why I'm here.
Yep. Nice job, Dale.
Good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Tom, a pleasure.
See you next week. This Brady Watch Hour was brought to you by Northeast Electrical. They are powered by difference. Visit needco.com. We'll come back and reconvene the proceedings here and probably turn our attention to some of the other sports besides football. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.